This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is the instance.
Everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 474. It is the final show of 2016. It's actually the 30th of January, or sorry, December 2016. And we are ever closer to a brand new year, which I'm sure is going to be awesome. Although it was a pretty awesome Blizzard year, so it's going to be hard to sort of argue with that moving forward. But it's me, Scott Johnson. I'm joined today by Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, so if you're watching on video, that's not how I really look. This new webcam is sort of distorting everything. I look much better in real life. I just wanted to put it out there just so people know.
There's a clarity to the video. I just think it's your lighting maybe. I don't know. You look fine. Like there's a sharpness to it, but maybe you have it's all like computer screen lighting. So you look like you look like some basement dweller guy or something. Although you don't have basements in France, do you? They don't believe in those unless they're wine cellars, right?
What? Yes. Let's go with yes.
I just have this assumption that there's no such thing as a basement in France. Anyway, you're in Paris right now. That's good. That's better than in the white, awful tundra of Finland where you normally reside. And it's good to have you here. The other two guys may show up. I don't know. It's a kind of a crazy week with holidays and everything. I wasn't even sure who we'd have today, but if they arrive, they will. They've been invited to the call, and they'll pop in as they see fit. Patrick and I are here to do it, though. That is to say, talk about stuff.
To do a show, to talk about Blizzard games.
That's what I meant. What he meant. That's what I meant to say. Now, I don't know about you, Patrick, but this year especially, and there's not that there's any shortage of things to do in any of the games in my launcher, including World of Warcraft. It's just the holidays means the news cycle and bigger topics kind of run thin. So for the last couple of weeks, it really just hasn't been anything. Like nothing new, nothing major. A lot of Blizzard people out of town or on vacation. You know, even some of the content releases seem to be timed with people being out of town or with the holidays themselves. You know, the 3-week hero release schedule for Heroes is probably 1 to 2 weeks pushed forward because of the holidays. So there's weird stuff going on, but you and I thought, hey, it doesn't matter. Like, it's fine. We're still playing these games, so there's lots to talk about in that way. But also, why don't we get in here and talk about what 2016 was for Blizzard and what we think 2017 might be? And I mean everything, the best of the year, the worst of the year, what was good, what sucked, where could Blizzard have improved, where did they nail it, what are they going to do in 2017 to once again top themselves? And I don't know the answers to any of these questions, but together, you and I, like a journey in the forest, are going to find out for ourselves.
So is the forest the place where we're going to do it? Is that what you're saying?
We're doing it in the forest.
Okay. All right.
Like
I'm all for it.
You've heard an
attractive man.
So. You've heard the old saying: do podcasters do it in the forest, and would anyone hear it
when you're not looking?
Right.
You know what? It's New Year's Eve's Eve, and it's not impossible that I started celebrating a little bit early. So there you go. That's the kind of show you get.
There you go, right there. All right. Well, let's just dive in, and I'll just use this music because why not? Don't know why this doesn't work. I think it works fine. So let's talk about the best and the worst in Blizzard 2016. This was an interesting year, I thought, for Blizzard. It seemed like there was a lot happening that could be interpreted in two very extreme directions. One was they seem to be kind of knocking it out of the park on game releases, game updates, and overall sort of what Blizzard does best, making good video games. That seemed to be at an all-time high, and it also in both quality, but also in breadth of selection. Like, they've just got stuff popping everywhere. And that means a new expansion for World of Warcraft. They launched an entirely new game in a new genre they haven't been in. Well, not a new genre, a genre they have yet to be in previous to now, which was with Overwatch. They've had well-received expansions to Hearthstone. Pretty solid uptick in what Heroes of the Storm is trying to be and is becoming. And, of course, Legion was a big deal and came out to much acclaim, and everyone really enjoys that expansion quite a bit. So it felt like they were firing on all cylinders in that regard. And we can talk about each one of those in a second. But it's hard to ignore the fact that this was also the year where the movie came out. And while that's cool, the Warcraft movie, it did not perform to expectations. Certainly did not perform to the happiness of reviewers at all. It was one of the most critically panned movies of the year, despite us liking it. But also, this is a year.
And even more importantly, it didn't do well in box office in the West.
Right.
I mean, if critics had not liked it and it had done well, that would have been one thing. But certainly, China saved it financially. So it's possible we're going to get a sequel, which is great. And however much we fans liked it, it makes up for it in a sense. But, you know, like, artistically, we were happy with the depiction of our world in film. But certainly that was not a success when you look at the numbers, not just the critics.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And so that was a little odd. That happened in April. And so you had this dichotomy of people who were like, I don't understand what's wrong with critics. This is amazing. And you had critics saying, boy, this is like Battlefield Earth 2016. Terrible movie. Don't go see it.
There's one guy who said that.
Yeah, that's true. I should quit giving him such a stage, don't you think?
Well, the thing is, most critics were not happy with the movie. Everyone was basically panning it as, well, we thought maybe video game movies were going to be better, but no, it's still the same old crap, was in essence the message they were giving. So it is, it's fair to say that critics definitely did not like the movie at all.
Yeah, it didn't seem
to. And whether or not it was called for, the intensity of the criticism was called for, is another matter entirely. And it almost actually doesn't really matter because, again, the public didn't go to see it, and the numbers, the box office, it didn't perform at the box office in the West. So,
and it really needed to here because this is the birthplace of it. Now, I don't mean America. I mean the West is where this kind of game and that particular game culture thrives. This wasn't a game.
No. Games are everywhere, including, you know, China and Asia. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, this game in particular and the phenomenon was more visible to us here because that's where we are. But it's a huge deal in China as well. So,
yeah, that's true. I shouldn't count China out. In my head, I'm thinking
pride kind of it. I would have been happier, let's say, if it had done tremendously in the US and Europe and not so well in China. You know, I would have been happier with it. And I'm sure, I guess that's where you were coming from. I'm sure a lot of Blizzard executives would have been happier as well.
Yeah, but and also the reason I say that isn't because I'm not trying to turn a blind eye to what the Asian market is doing. Clearly, it's a ginormous factor and it matters a lot to Blizzard's bottom line and also just to the breadth of their fan base. But we're talking about a product, a film based on a product that has a legacy of a very long lifespan here and in the West, going back to the earliest of the 90s and then progressing from there. And it just feels like that legacy didn't have enough heft to get enough people to the theaters. We really should have had a generation of kids/adults who grew up on those games, on those early Warcraft games, and have worked their way all the way up through, you know, the current iterations of World of Warcraft that went out in droves. And maybe they did, but then you're only talking about worldwide, you know, whatever it is right now, 12 million people, however many people are playing the game. I'm not saying that should be a one-to-one for subscribership, but that many people is not enough to get the numbers that Blizzard needed. It was the wider audience that needed to get in there. And the wider audience still thinks that video game movie means crap. So it's they had the stigma to deal with. They had the critical reaction to deal with, and that's just something that didn't work out here, despite the fact that we had a respected director and we had, you know, the heft of Blizzard and the filmmakers behind it and all of that lead up wasn't enough to save it. But it's also the 14th most profitable film of the year. So that must be something, you know, like you can't.
The issue is, again, it did well in China.
Yeah.
And not for us. Like if you look at the profitable movie in the U.S., I'm pretty sure it's not going to be 14th. It's 14th globally, probably. Mm-hmm. But in the U.S., it must be way, way lower on that ranking.
Yeah, I wonder where those numbers are. Chat room, if you guys know where that is, somebody link that in the chat.
But anyway, let's not do the whole show on the movie.
No, let's not. Let's talk about the stuff that also was great. So the thing I was trying to get to was the big thing I noticed this year was we seemed to lose a lot of top-tier people at Blizzard who are moving on for various reasons. Chris Metzen, Jay Wilson, Joss Mascara, Mickey Nelson, among others, have all decided to, pick up their ball and go home. In some cases, it's because of a new opportunity. Josh moved over with those guys at Bonfire Studios, Rob Pardo's new joint, with a couple other Blizzard luminaries. And so there's that thing. Jay Wilson is leaving to become a full-time writer. Mickey Nelson, the same thing. In fact, his book about werewolves, whose name just escaped me, I'll find it before the end of the show, is really good, by the way. People should read it. It's on Amazon. You should check it out. And Metzen decided to retire. We've had an interview with him about that very retirement, but it did feel like this weird dichotomy of success, all these great games, everybody's receiving them well. Man, Overwatch is a huge hit. But then on the other hand, ooh, what's going on at Blizzard? These people are leaving. So I'm curious if you have like an overall looking back take on that seemingly sort of bipolar status at Blizzard.
So first of all, thank you to Sidian in the chat room who linked us to the box office in the U.S. Warcraft is 61st. So it's definitely lower than 14th.
Yeah.
It's still not, 200. So
sure.
I guess that's something. It made 47 million locally, which is 10% of the global number, roughly.
Right.
So it's still not completely insignificant. But
yeah.
So all of these big departures, I think, would have meant something very, very different, or at least would have been received in a very different manner if we hadn't had what I think are the two big pillars or surprises of the year, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But given the context of Blizzard's performance this year, those departures are completely understandable. And you look at them and go kind of, oh, well, okay, they wanted to do something else. If Blizzard had been performing poorly, this would have been like, oh, it's the beginning of the end, at which I don't think it would have been necessarily, but it would have certainly been a little bit more worrisome than it is now. The interesting thing is that given how well Blizzard is doing now, I think it's fair to, we've said that certainly, but I think it's fair and objective to look at it and say, well, they're going to do other things. That's fine. Blizzard is fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So color that lens we're looking at this through is really the most interesting part of all of it, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree. It does paint. It would paint a very different picture. People would see it as bleeding talent instead of what it actually is, which is somebody retires, somebody else wants to go right full time, somebody else has other ideas of what they want to do with their game career. Like, that's really what these things are. They probably always will be and always were those things. But also, what a good time to go out, kind of. There are also big names within the company. Tom Chilton, Corey Stockton, Dustin Browder, to name just a few, who have all been shuffled around to places we don't know about yet. There's a lot of talk about the incubator at Blizzard now and this sort of place for new games to be hatched. And some of their top talent might be doing those things. They might be on actual game projects that are yet to be announced. They might be working on teams that already exist. We don't really know. To me, that's maybe the more interesting thing, is to see what they're doing with their top designers, their top game runners. and seeing where they go next is kind of fascinating. It's a bit like, it reminds me of when Kaplan left to do Titan from the WoW team and disappeared and grew a beard and was not seen again for like 3 years. And so that's interesting to me. Do you think in 2017 any of that's going to come to light? Do you think we're going to suddenly find out, oh, Tom Chilton's leading the team on this squad-based StarCraft adventure game or whatever?
I honestly have no idea. I think given the pace that Blizzard works at, 2017 seems a little bit early. I would think until we hear about anything, the development will be well. You know, Blizzard has been very marked by the announcement of Diablo 3 in 2008 and then a 4-year wait. Yeah. I think that's a mistake they really don't want to repeat. And they're going to make sure that whenever they announce something, they'll have it available for beta as they did for Overwatch within, you know, about a year or mm-hmm. so. Mm-hmm. So, and the other thing is the way Hearthstone was the Hearthstone team was started was, I think it was Michael Chu in the team. I think it was him who figured, you know, we don't have to do gigantic, 50, 100 people games every time we release a game. We have to go and try to do some smaller things. And he got the other execs on board and they created this small team to try something. And it was 15 people, I think, 10 to 15 people, maybe even less in the beginning. Yeah. So I'm guessing that this is the kind of structure they're working with in this, incubator that Alan Adham is running now. For those who don't remember, that was announced at BlizzCon. Adham, who was the actual founder of the company and decided to leave about 10 years ago, 10, 14 years ago or so.
Yeah. Not long after WoW was released, right?
Just before. I think he left just before the game was released. Mm. And so he was the guy who actually went to the other two, Morheim and Pierce, and said, hey, we should create a game company. I want to do that. Are you with me? And then he's the guy who left. So they were very clear in giving him credit for being the founder of Silicon and Synapse at the time. I think that was the first name. Mm. So anyway, he's running that. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was these kinds of tiny teams, 10, 15 people and trying a bunch of things and see what sticks. And that takes a lot of time, iteration, trying to do something, trying different ideas. And I would have thought that after the success of Hearthstone, we would have seen other, to be clear, when I was there, I didn't have any knowledge of any other teams that were doing something similar to what the Hearthstone team was doing, right, to what Team 5 was doing. So I don't know that there was a Team 6 or Team 7. I would have guessed there would be, mm-hmm. But I was surprised when nothing came out. And I'm wondering if it wasn't recycled into that incubator, which is supposed to be trying a lot of things faster than they are in their traditional development, with smaller teams. So even with that, I'm wondering if we're going to see anything in 2017. Maybe one, but I wouldn't expect anything more, because iteration, and they're going to throw a lot of stuff in the bin if they're not happy with it. That's, I think, the general idea of the whole process, is to be able to try many things very quickly, and if they don't work out, then we'll try something else.
Somebody on our morning show yesterday asked me which company currently functioning would I like to go and watch do R&D. And the obvious answers always seem to be, oh, Apple or Google or, somebody who's working on AI and, they can drive or self-driving cars. Or maybe it would be cool to go to, to hang out with Elon Musk for the afternoon or something. But my answer was, I want to sit wherever this incubator is. I want to go in there and I want to hear what that is. I want to be a fly on the wall and I want to see ideas sprout, be played with and then thrown away because they didn't work. I want to see the ones that do make it through, what that looks like in the primordial stage, and then watch them, take it from there to the next step, whatever those steps are. Like, that's really interesting to me. And I would do that in a heartbeat if I could.
It is for sure. And that applies, I think, to that, that department because it's interesting to see that fast iteration process. I'm guessing it's fast. Maybe, you know, they're just chiseling away at the same game for 3 years. I have no idea. But the thing is, Blizzard in general is a really special company. And obviously we think this at this in this show. We love what they do and we have very close ties with them. But it's really rare. Really rare to have a company that is the star in this world of gaming development. And what I mean by that is that it's really the company, I attribute it to the company culture, because there are lots of developers that come from other companies where they did good things, but not with the same consistency and not the same incredible results. You know, there were developers that came from other companies where they had cool games and they had an interesting design and fun gameplay and all of this, but it wasn't like this incredible polish that Blizzard has. And on the other, the flip side of this is that you had great developers who were at Blizzard for a long time and went off and did something else. And when they did that, I think the most famous is, what's his name? Bill Roper, who went out and did other things. It was Hellgate London, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hellgate London was so much potential.
And so poor results, right? Yeah. And we've seen it happen many times. So these great developers don't thrive in other environments. So Blizzard is really something special, not because of just the people that are there. Certainly it does play a role, but also because of the way the company functions as an entity. Mm-hmm. So the way they do things, I think, is I can't think of many other companies like this in the gaming space. Maybe, you know, Rockstar, we don't even know who works there. Like, we know, but, you know, and they just churn out stuff. And maybe I'm guessing it's the way the company works and the way they do things. So there are a couple, maybe two or three, but it's a really different approach to things in general. And yes, so to make a long answer short, I would love to be sitting there, and just listen and look at the way that my suspicion is. I think the way they do it is they have smart people, but they also give them time and they play their own games a crap ton. I know that certainly us, other non-developers, when we had access to the internal alphas, we would play a lot and we would discuss it and we would give feedback. And it's like, it's almost like they release the games internally and, you know, they play them internally with smaller teams before for months and improve and iterate. And then they release a little bit wider and improve and iterate. Basically, the game has been, when the game is released to the public, it's been out for, you know, a year and a half or 2 years, and they've kept working on it.
Yeah, it's crazy, actually, how that works. And I think that's a huge part of why some of these guys leave, start up a thing, and then cannot reestablish that culture, because that culture also takes a bunch of money and time, and that money and time isn't as readily available, perhaps, in the 2000s. Who knows?
Well, but it's never been. You need a company that has that. You need business leaders that have that intent, that, you know, drive to say, to fight the owners of the company, right? You need the CEO who's going to say, no, we're not going to release it now for this quarter. We're going to wait. And once we do release it, it's going to make you a lot of money. So chill out and you'll get rich just a month later.
This is true.
And the thing is, Blizzard has the history to back it up. So it's easier now, especially with WoW's success. Basically, WoW means that it meant in 2004, it meant Blizzard could do whatever the hell they wanted and everyone would be happy.
Yeah, so, yeah, it does mean
but
that.
Even before that, you know, they had very high standards. So it's not a new attitude. It's just a little bit more comfort now.
Sure. So one of the things I wanted to touch on before we move on to the big successes of the year was that Bonfire Studio, started by Rob Pardo and founders, the other founders or the founding members of it are all highly regarded ex-Blizzard people. Josh Mascara, I mentioned. I cannot remember their other names, but the lead architect on the Battle.net technology, and the third guy. Oh, he's an artist animator guy. One of the biggest and best at Blizzard. Just in reference to your whole sometimes outside the Blizzard ecosystem, these brilliant developers, designers, and game runners don't necessarily thrive in the same way. This is the one where we get to see maybe if there's a, if this can happen. Like, if it can happen, this is probably going to be where it'll happen. In a big way, I mean, like in a way that's, you know, fundamentally successful or not. Like, I feel like this is a big moment for us to watch, to see what Bonfire actually does with all of that talent. I'm very curious about that moving into next year.
Yeah, I think Nick Carpenter is the lead of the artist team you were thinking
about.
That's what
I'm thinking of, yeah. He's great.
The thing is, if Bonfire Studio doesn't manage to make an amazing game, it feels like no one can do it. You know, it feels like being an ex-Blizzard employee means nothing. If those guys can't do it, it's impossible for you know, it's just, it has no, being an ex-Blizzard doesn't make you any better than anyone else. It just means you worked at a great company.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. They have all the money. They have all the money. They have all the talent. They have all the, if they have, if anyone can do it, they can. And if they can't, then yes, it does feel like proof. I mean, I hesitate to call it proof, but it's sure going to feel like that if they can.
Yeah. I mean, and they also have, they've spent enough time at Blizzard together to be able to reproduce whatever kind of magic exists, you know, this weird, unexplainable atmosphere that makes them able to create good games and polish the games as they should. So, I mean, maybe not Mosquera, who had been here for only 2 or 3 years, but certainly Pardo and the others are super important in the company. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Going to be interesting. So, the big things this year, of course, Legion launched to pretty great success, both critically, I think, and in the numbers seemed good, although they still don't talk about official numbers now. But there were some things leaked where somebody would mention by accident on some forum somewhere that they were north of their expectations, whatever that may be. And
I think someone said they were the thing that leaked and was misunderstood was their concurrency was a little bit above what it was for the launch of Warlords. Mm-hmm. And as we know, the launch of Warlords saw the numbers go back, the subscription numbers go back up to 10 million. Mm-hmm. So people interpreted it in a way that, you know, in meaning that they were back to 10 million. But we didn't have any specific, mention of this.
Yeah, that's true. So beyond that, though, I think critically the player base has been really into it. I think I kind of made a mistake early with Legion. I played so much and so hardcore for like, I don't know, a month and a half or whatever. Like I played like I was, like it was going out of style and I was going to die if I didn't play. That right now I'm kind of like a little burnt. And it's not the game. Yeah. It isn't the content. It's the best content I've ever had in this game. But I just needed to step back a little bit and not be completely immersed in it 24/7, which I know some people can do and that's all they want to do. But I started teetering up next to the edge of like, all right, I don't want to like resent this game for binging on it and then never wanting to, you know, it's like eating a bunch of Cheetos and then throwing them up on the couch. You don't want to eat Cheetos for a while.
I'm in the same, I think most people are going to be in the same boat, and I think that's okay. I mean, for me, should we do the favorite Blizzard moments?
Yeah.
Because it feels like they're so linked to the launches.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It would be, yeah. So for me, I think I might want to start with my least favorite thing, my worst moment,
okay,
or worst part,
all right,
if you're okay with it.
Yeah.
For me, it's actually getting burnt on Hearthstone. Not burnt out, but I guess I've moved away from Hearthstone a little bit, to the point that I was excited about the theme of the Karazhan adventure because it's disco and, you know, it's one night in Karazhan and that's amazing. But I played half of it, I think. And now for the Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, I haven't even bought a single pack. I'm like, I'm fine not playing Hearthstone. And if you remember, you don't, because I was still at the company, so I didn't talk too much. But Hearthstone was the game that I would play nonstop every day, all the time, and think about it when I wasn't playing, for basically the entire internal alpha and a good chunk of time afterwards, maybe a year or two.
Mm. Is that why, though, so, do you think? Is because he just binged it then? Okay.
Maybe it's possible. It's certainly possible. It's just, you know, for me, it's kind of, it's not the worst, but I'm sort of putting it away for a little bit, and I might come back later, but it's not my thing anymore. For now, I have other things to do, and other things might be other Blizzard games.
Yeah.
but yeah, so I think that is my kind of, not bummer, but I moved away from Hearthstone a little bit.
That's funny because we share.
You've never been super into it.
And I was going to say we almost share the same bummer, but my bummer's got a different nuance to it. My bummer is that I've never quite been able to make Hearthstone part of the things I love about Blizzard. Like I just can't. I'll do it for a little bit, and then I'm just like, I'm losing. I've hit a wall or whatever. The only way for me to progress any quicker is to buy a bunch of cards, and I'm just like really not into that. So I'm kind of there with you, certainly my opinion of Hearthstone's got nothing to do with the quality of that game. It's as one of those goes, as an electronic CCGs go, it's the best thing there is. Like, it's the monster to tackle. It is, I mean, somebody out there might argue, oh, Hex is better, or this other thing's better, and those all have their things. They all have their value, but they're king of the hill in this regard, and there's no really fighting that. Like, they took that and they own the genre now. Like, it's theirs, and I get it.
No,
and it's great. I just wish I liked it, and I just can't get around to liking it. I think it's just it's the kind of thing that it is. It's the collecting things. I find myself enjoying deck builders more than I do CCGs. Deck builders are like, you know, there's one deck, there's a finite number of cards. The cards you get, you build your deck out of, and you play your game, and you win or you lose, and then you go again. There are a lot of games that do that. That's a popular thing for cards, and that way more fits my style of play than a CCG with a billion builds and a million net decks and, you know, all that stuff. So it's It's not my thing.
I think it's fine. There are tons of games that I would like to get into that I see a lot of people being super excited about, and I would like to be part of that excitement. You know, Pokemon is one of them. I'm not of the Pokemon generation, and whenever a new one comes out, everyone's super hyped, and I'm like, oh, but I want to like it too, and I try it, and after 10 minutes, I'm like, this is dumb. and, you know, Civ is one of those, the Dark Souls series. Like, I never got into any of those, and I tried a little bit, but so I completely understand. For me, the bummer part is kind of the fact that I initially was very much into it, and now it's a little bit less. But so that's my, I guess, slight Blizzard bummer. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get back into it. Maybe we'll see. But
I have two others that are probably tied for biggest bummer of the year. For me, it was not caring as much about StarCraft in 2016 as I did in 2010 when it first launched with Wings of Liberty. I thought that was an amazing, incredible return to form for RTSs. And now I could not be more bored by an RTS. And I have noted, I haven't finished the Protoss campaign. I really wanted to because I want to see the rest of that story. I'll probably just watch it on YouTube because I just don't know if I want to go through it. That's a sign of me changing my adherence to a particular genre. I think MOBAs have ruined that for me a little bit. They've become the RTS du jour for hundreds of millions of people. And certainly Heroes has done that for me on the Blizzard side of things. So that's disappointing. That's more about me, though, than the game. And it's also just about shifting tastes and, you know, RTS is falling out of favor. And the other thing is that I love, love, love Diablo, top to bottom, end to end. And I love Diablo 3, and I love its current state. I love everything about that game. This was the year where we lose Josh, and then it made everybody go, oh, well, what's going on with Diablo? And then it got real quiet for a while. And then Frank Pierce, who never gets on stage, gets on stage and announces a new class coming out next year. Like, it just feels like Diablo, like they don't know what to do with it. A very successful, extremely successful game. One of the highest selling PC games of all time. And I feel like they aren't exactly sure what they want to do next. And maybe that's business model. Maybe that's, I don't know what it is. But
I think they know what they want to do. They want to do Diablo 4 or another game in the franchise.
I think
they're
too,
not letting go of the franchise. That's guaranteed. It sold too much.
Yeah.
But they decided they didn't want to. The chat room is asking if I'm from Canada. I guess my accent is. Yeah, I'm from the OG Canada. Thank you, Laura, man. I'm from France, man. France.
Yeah, France. He's there now. He's in Paris now. Anyway.
So, yeah, I think they decided they didn't want to do another expansion for whatever reason. And that's going to take a little bit more time. So that's your answer. But, yeah, it's kind of a bummer that we didn't see more.
That's all I'm mad about. I just want more. I want more Diablo. I love that series. I want more of it in my life. But honestly, beyond that, and I'll admit to a little personal pain when all of these people we've mentioned before left the company, just felt, I don't know, it felt like we were being abandoned a little bit. That's irrational to think that. These are people with lives and plans and expectations of their own, and I'm not in charge of where they go or what they do, and I think sometimes gamers, to greater and lesser extents, think that they should somehow, like they somehow owe us something, but you know, it still kind of stings a little bit to know that Chris Metzen's not there. To know that Josh Mascara is not there, Mickey Nelson's not there. Like I miss them from both a personal connection to Blizzard way, but I also miss them from a creative output way. And I'm excited to see who the new carriers of the torches are going to be within the company. But so I can't really count it as a bummer. I just know I felt my own version of personal pang. Pain is the word I meant. Pang isn't a word.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite a bummer. I guess maybe not seeing an expansion for Diablo 3 could be a bummer, but
yeah.
All right, let's move on to the best of the year for us.
Yeah, tell me what you liked the most. What hit with you and resonated the most? I think I know the answer to this, but I want to hear it from your lips.
So I think it's a twofold answer. I was talking about the two pillars of Blizzard's excellent year for 2016. And one is more of a, you know, something for me personally that has affected my life. And one is a little bit of that, but also sort of the incredible message that it meant for Blizzard to the world. The incredible message is the release of Legion, which in its, what is it, 12th year of this game of World of Warcraft, Blizzard manages to put out an expansion for the game that is so acclaimed critically and in sales that they basically make a statement. World of Warcraft is still there. It's still a massive behemoth of a game. It's not going anywhere. It's sort of the definitive point that they can make, because after this, they can put out an expansion that doesn't perform as well, that isn't as great. It's fine. We know that at some point there might be another one that will be great too, because we've had that, you know, a couple of slumps already. It's sort of a way for Blizzard to shut up every critic in the world about World of Warcraft. It's like, yes, it's old. Yes, it doesn't appeal to everyone, but it's still awesome. And people who love it, even if they haven't played for a long time. They'll come back and they'll be super happy playing it. And you know what? Every time someone buys a game, not only do we get the subscription money from the people who might stay subscribed for a month or two or three, but also, we get what is basically a full price game's price now. Not quite, but it's not just a $30 expansion. They've raised the price sneakily for a few years, and now we're at, what, $50, something like that, for the expansion?
Yeah.
So it's sort of one of the most incredible successes that we could have hoped for Blizzard this year.
Yeah.
I think it's significant in many, many ways. And, you know, on top of that, the reason why it's so successful is that it is a great expansion. It's an possibly the best expansion they've ever put out. And you were saying, you know, you got burnt out a little bit after playing nonstop for a couple of months. I'm in the same boat. I haven't really played for a few weeks, and I'm fine with it now. You know, I play when I want to. I look at there's so many things to do. It's just I look at it, and I think if we were in 2004 with maybe five great games coming out every, you know, in the year, maybe I would be playing World of Warcraft every day now. But it's just there are a million coming out every month, it seems. So it's just too many things to do. But
that's true.
The quality of that expansion, every aspect of it is awesome. Everything is successful. Everything is well done. And that is possibly for from an industry standpoint, it is a wonder that Blizzard has achieved.
Do you think that it's possible the game enters a every other phase and it may have already been in one and we just didn't know it? And what I'm talking about is like the Star Trek movies are considered this, that the evens are good, the odds are bad. Or the evens
or
are better.
Or the Windows versions.
Yeah, or the Windows. There you go, the Windows version, same thing. So you know, vanilla was this groundbreaking thing. Some would argue that BC was a great expansion. I think it was great too, but again, let's go with my thinking here. You go to the expansion, it's pretty good, but then Wrath, man, Wrath was amazing. And then Cataclysm, it was okay. It was good. I liked it, but was it, you know, the best expansion ever? No. So maybe just a little dip there. And then boom, Pandaria, bringing it back. Amazing expansion. Love Pandaria. And then Warlords, meep. And then this, woo. And then whatever's next, meep. And then like that. Do you think that's possible at this point, that we may just be in a bit of a loop?
I don't know why we would be. I don't understand. I don't quite understand why there would be some kind of magical rule that says, you know, Windows has to have one version that sucks and one that works. I think it's hindsight pattern recognition. I don't think so.
You don't think there's like some structural, like procedural thing happening where
no, because it's the same team for Blizzard, and they always try to do that. You know, I often say this, they always try to do the best expansion they can, and I don't think they save good ideas for every other expansion, or, you know, so I don't know, maybe we'll see.
Yeah, I hope not. I don't think so. I hope not. I want the next one to break that pattern and have everyone go, oh, they still got it, it's still happening, and we thought Legion was good, man, just look how good this next one is, or whatever.
Yeah.
For me, it is definitely, I'm with you 100% on Legion's launch. Let's talk about Overwatch for a second.
Can I also talk about Overwatch, because I love it more than you?
No, of course you do. So here's all I'll state about this, why I'm so impressed with what that game has accomplished. It rose from the ashes of Titan. Whatever Titan was, it is safe to assume that it was a lot of what Overwatch is in terms of character, story, structure, whatever. They pulled from that wreckage, from that canceled project, enough to make it into a premier competitive shooter. And they did it with, I think, so much grace and precision, both artistically and technically, and certainly just tonally. They turned it into one of the most impressive releases for any company this year, period. And it is, by all accounts, by all measures, by all metrics, one of the most successful games, if not the most successful game of 2016. Now, all that being said, I'm sure you have more flowery ways to describe what I'm trying to say. So Patrick, a guy who didn't like FPSs before this thing came on the scene, tell me where you're at with the whole Overwatch success of 2016.
It's not that I didn't like FPSs. I dabbled. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like super deep into FPSs, but you know, I feel with Overwatch like I'm part of the group of people who liked the band before it was cool. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about this, you know, many times on the show and elsewhere. But the Titan relationship is important and interesting for Blizzard internally. Like, as a company, they proved to themselves as a development team that they could do it, that they could manage to save what was there to be saved and not make this huge thing into a failure. But for the industry as a whole, and for Blizzard, as it relates to the industry, it's the second pillar of that two-pillar year of Legion on one hand that says, We're still here. We can still make awesome things for this 10-year-old game. And the other thing is we can also innovate, you know, for Blizzard. We can also do things that are different, conquer new realms. And together, they sort of mean there is no limit to what we can do. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, that game has conquered my gaming time. It's all I want to do for, you know, I've been playing it for over a year straight now. I was in the initial friends and family beta, and I've been playing it, I think, every day, certainly every week, for a year, many hours, sometimes many hours a day. And it's just, it has so much of what makes Blizzard games great. You know, easy to learn, hard to master, depth that you wouldn't suspect when you first try it, and fun. It is so much fun to play. You get enjoyment out of it all the time. And it got me into that, the FPS arena, competitive FPS genre, which I didn't think I was going to get into, which many people didn't think they were going to get into. And seeing that quality recognized by the entire world has been a real treat for people like me who were, as I was saying, fans from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it is on all accounts an incredible success for gamers and for the industry, you know, and for Blizzard in the industry, which makes with, as I was saying, with Legion, those two pillars that mean Blizzard is in its best shape it's ever been. They have like, what, 5-6 games now that are all, you know, more or less active, but certainly all of them are successful, more in the works. There is no company in the world, no gaming company in the world that does this. They are developing and publishing all those games. I honestly, maybe I'm missing one, but I can't think of any company that does this, especially for games that are actively being not just worked on, but active with constant updates all the time. Even Diablo and StarCraft, which are the least active of all of them, there are things that are coming every few months. So the two, it seemed a few years ago that Blizzard might be in a tough position. Now they're in an incredible position, and Legion and Overwatch are the two reasons why, in an incredible, it's an incredible demonstration of their talent and commitment to quality.
Yeah, and to not let dips stay. Like they're not comfortable in a place where where they're not performing at a high level and not putting out incredible content. I would also say that Heroes is really coming into its own and has in 2016. There was something very specifically late in the year, right after the Varian Wrenn patch, where he was launched as a hero, where I don't want to put it all at his feet or anything. Not because I don't like the Alliance. They're fine. Whatever. That's not the problem. But hey, there was something about his release and that week's excuse me, balance patch that put that game up a whole nother slot in my mind, and I don't know why. It's real weird. The game just suddenly felt really right, and it always felt real good. I've enjoyed it since the beginning, and I've played it since beta, and I've loved every second of Heroes, and it's, you know, made me a MOBA fan without even trying to. And I love that game, and it's my MOBA of choice, and I play it all the time. I play that almost every day, along with Hearthstone, geez, with Overwatch. Those are my two probably most played games right now. But there's something that just clicked. I don't know what it is. You're hearing it from a lot of the other base of players. Some people say it was literally the crossover with Overwatch for the Genji skin thing that did it and brought a bunch of very competitive quality players over from the shooter genre who went, oh, I played League for a while. What's this? I forgot Blizzard even made this or whatever. And turns out there's a lot more crossover than people thought. And so for whatever reason, queues are shorter, matches are better. The quality of my experience in that game is better. Like, it's just killing it right now. So even on that front, which is kind of their, you know, their little mascot middle game, is firing on all cylinders, has great plans for 2017 in terms of competitive plans and how they're handling tournaments and everything. And they just seem to to have thrown extra weight behind it. Their community team is extremely active right now, like really, really killing it. So that's my other favorite thing of this year was how Heroes is coming into its own. They did a video. I don't know if you remember this, Patrick. They did a video that said,
yes, I know what you're going to say, and I agree.
It's this moment where they went, all right, you know what? We're just going to accept the fact. We don't have to call ourselves a brawler. We don't have to try to tell everybody we're something we're not to try to differentiate ourselves. The MOBA genre was built in our backyard on the back of Warcraft 3, and it thrived there, and it moved out, and we were so busy building an MMO that we didn't have a chance to even see what was happening under our nose, and that got away from us. So let's just own it, and let's just make the best game we can, and let's do our own unique things to it and take a ton of chances and have weird-ass characters. No other MOBA would even try to do this. Let's have multiple maps. Let's go nuts with it. Let's embrace the things that makes it so Blizzardy and quit trying to pretend like this is a whole other thing. And let's actually just call it what it is. And they call it a MOBA. They're using language that MOBA players are familiar with. And I think embracing that legacy is the smartest thing they've done this year. And maybe that was when it turned. Maybe that's when I started to feel this difference. But yeah, I love that game. Just great.
I think it's a combination of things that certainly played into it. I don't think they said let's own it because it grew up in our backyard. I think it's more mundane than that. It's just people didn't understand what a brawler was, and they know what a MOBA is. So they were like, okay, let's not confuse people and try to get them to come try our thing. And it's just a marketing move, in my opinion. But overall, I think a lot of people are also sort of. It's been, what, a couple of years since it was released?
Yeah, 2014. Hold on.
Something like that.
2015? 2014. No, I don't remember. I think 2014, late 2014, something like that.
But yeah. But people aren't looking at it and thinking, is this better or worse than League anymore?
No.
It's clearly not as successful. So that the pressure is kind of off at this point. So people are just, maybe they dismissed it early on because they thought it wasn't League. But now we know it isn't. And when people come back to it, maybe especially because ironically, some people who were very much in love with League of Legends went to Overwatch and went then to Heroes of the Storm because of the promo and realized, oh, well, it's not League, but it's fun and I might enjoy it. And there's sort of the distance that sort of puts less pressure on the company and on people to sort of compare it with the other MOBAs all the time. So I actually, it's one of it's probably my third Blizzard game that I've played this year. I've played it quite a bit and I always enjoy it. The reason I don't play it more is that I don't have more time. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had. It's one of those games, one of those many games I wish I had more time to play. But I agree, it's a game that is super fun in its own right, and it's getting recognized for that. And that's really, it's heartwarming to see that it's getting the recognition it deserves.
Yeah, then the brawls are really fun, the new brawl system in it, and, I don't know, Blizzard borrowing from other games and implementing things in here and seeing things here being implemented in other games, like all that cross-pollination is really, really working well in 2016. I think that stuff's all good. Mm-hmm. As far as what we think next year is going to be, let's talk briefly about this. We have got about 10 minutes.
I have a little bit more, maybe.
Okay, all right. So in World of Warcraft terms, we kind of know what's ahead. I mean, we hope for continual patch and support and quality improvements to the existing expansion, but we probably next BlizzCon hear an expansion announcement, right? Wouldn't that hold true?
I would think so, yeah. I think probably it's likely. It will be over a year and some months that the current expansion has been released. So they will start to have to think about a beta. So they have to announce it before that, or an alpha, I guess. So it will be, they will have an announcement before that. Maybe even Gamescom. It's possible.
Well, they did that. They did. That's where the 2015 announcement of Legion happened. So it very well could happen that way again. That may be their new place to do that.
And Gamescom, by the way, as you know, has become sort of a mini BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. I know that the EU comms team is always happy to have big announcements there. So if they do, maybe WoW, maybe something else. But I mean, the thing I would say about WoW is that the one area where I was a little bit disappointed, I suppose, was the lack of Illidan storyline in Illidan was sort of a side thing in the storyline, and it's fine in Legion, but I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with patches, 7.2 and 7.3, once we actually get into what Illidan is going or is not going to do with the Legion and with Argus and all of this. So yeah. Maybe expansion announcement, it's not certain, but more importantly, we're going to see the end of this expansion. And that's sort of probably going to be the time when I get back into it and go like, ooh, maybe I can talk to Illidan and tell him I understand what he's going through. I know.
Okay, this is not a spoiler because it doesn't happen. This is just me asking. You think this is all going to come down to him and Malfurion having some kind of to-the-death fight, and we got to hear Malfurion go, what? Brother, I don't like these thorns. Brr. Like, what are we going to get?
Why would Malfurion fight Illidan?
I don't know. I just feel like there needs to be some kind of sacrifice. One brother has to stand.
Oh.
There's going to be...
Well, maybe... Yeah. Maybe a sacrifice, but I mean, yeah, they are going to fight the Legion together, is what you mean.
Maybe. I don't know. All I'm saying is at the end, I feel like we're going to get like a... I don't know. I just have this feeling we're going to get some kind of weird moment where it's going to be Malfurion, Tyrande, and Illidan all sitting around, and there's going to be some shitty thing go down, and there's going to be some awful fight.
Maybe. That's nondescript enough that it might be true. Something is going to happen, and the main characters in that storyline are going to be involved. Yes, you are right. You are correct.
I nailed it. Don't forget when it happens to give me the credit I deserve for...
Oh, you'll do that yourself. Yeah. I'm not worried.
Yeah, vaguely predicting something in the future. For Diablo, I hope we get announcements of new product, new something, new direction, new something. I think that would be great. I think this is the year we thought we were going to get that. I really hope, beyond hope, that we get something in 2017 in terms of announcements, or at least something to look forward to. I think this will be the year that we hear about a new project that's coming from this incubator, or a new game, or a new something, either existing IP or otherwise. I feel like they want to have some quick results from that. That's kind of the idea of it, and that would have to mean, like you said, they're not going to pull a 4-year announcement and then release sort of thing again like they did with Diablo 3. They will be further along with something than we thought, and within a year we'll have, beta or something like that. I feel like I'm stretching a little bit to get that, but that's what I really want next year, is to have one more thing on my launcher.
Well, I think, so first of all, Ralph in the chat room is saying Tyrande, Malfurion, and Illidan sitting and talking at Central Perk, I think would be perfect.
Yeah.
For Diablo, I don't know that we're going to get something. Honestly, I would love to, but we have the new character, the Necromancer coming. I'm wondering if that's all.
Is that supposed to satiate us until 2018 or something? Okay.
I think so. And I think we might get another character after that, another class.
Yeah. Viable character pack makes a lot of sense to me. We've talked about this before, but to reiterate, my favorite thing I played, like hands-on played at BlizzCon, was the Necromancer demo. That was the most fun I had.
That's your Diablo goggles.
Totally.
They blind you to other things.
They totally does. I loved it so much. I wanted it to not get up and leave it. And all the game, you were 4 basic abilities and no runes. Like, it was the most basic way to play that thing. Oh my gosh, dude. I can't wait for that. I don't want to make it sound like I'm not excited about that next year. But always there's this question.
We'll want Diablo 4.
Yeah,
or we'll want, Diablo, I don't know, universe, meaning like some different kind of take on the Diablo on a Diablo game. I don't know, but we'll want something. Sorry.
Oh, bless you.
Mentioning the name of the the Lord of Terror makes me sneeze. but from the incubator, I, again, it's sort of the same thing. I really want to see something, but I think it's a little bit early. they just announced that Adham had come back. He must be, he has, must have been back, I don't know, a few months, 6 months before, maybe, maybe less. Maybe they recycled or they integrated projects that had been running before. But it seems still a little bit early, I would think, all of this. I'm wondering if we're not going to be disappointed because there won't be any other big announcements in 2017.
Well, part of this is there's a momentum, or at least a sense of momentum from Blizzard that feels like they could do anything like we've been talking about. And so the idea of them springing it on us doesn't seem so crazy. And so when we don't get it, it's like Apple's one more thing they always get in trouble for now. It's like, well, they established this thing of like, oh my gosh, they've got something up their sleeve at the end of this conference and we didn't even know about it and it's this huge deal. And now they can never live up to that again. Well, sometimes that happens, and Blizzard's in a position now where it's just hit after hit. What's next? And when we don't get anything next, we're just kind of like, oh, DeepMind is working on some StarCraft AI thing. You know.
So what do you think is going to happen for Heroes?
All right, Heroes is going to get a bunch more heroes. It's going to continue to grow and be strong. I think that game is a... unlike Overwatch, which was a and Hearthstone to some degree, is it like a spike success, like boom, here it is, and then it maintains. I think that this game was and always will be the kind of game that will be a slow curve upward, though, in growth. And I think that that game will continue to be refined, improved. Heroes will have reworks, new heroes will be introduced. The game will continue to find its own unique place within the MOBA genre. That marks
so basically
it.
Heroes will be heroes.
Yeah, heroes will be heroes, but it will also, this is the important part, it will also continue to will continue to not only improve, but it will also be more and more obvious that it's a thing to play and to not think about, oh, well, what's its place in the MOBA market? Like, where does it sit next to Dota 2 or League of Legends or Smite or anything else? It's just going to be, people are going to stop thinking of it that way and stop being all defensive about their game du jour, and they're just going to freaking play it and have fun. I think that attitude is going to permeate this year, this coming year.
I think more and more Blizzard people are going to try it. I think some people that maybe hadn't gotten into it because they thought MOBAs aren't for me might try it a little bit more and keep coming back to it every here and there.
Yeah.
So and, basically that's what I'm doing. So maybe I'm extrapolating.
And I think Arthas will be fun to play one day in the future. And in the future, one time, he will be reworked to the point that Arthas is not the worst character in the game. That's just my opinion. Mm. There are plenty of other people who think otherwise. I can't freaking stand him. All right.
One other thing I want to say about Heroes. I think as they add Overwatch Heroes, it's going to bring more people in as well.
Oh, I totally agree.
Overwatch is a success.
Totally agree. And I think that this year you'll see at least two, maybe three of this year's release Heroes will probably be Overwatch Heroes, in my opinion. So we'll see.
For Hearthstone, I did want to mention that if we had Dills or Terpster, it probably would have been a very different conversation. And there would have been a little bit more love shown to the game. So
oh, sure.
I just wanted to mention it, that we're two people who aren't really playing it a lot this year. So
yeah, they would have a lot, they would have many convincing arguments about why it's in the best place it's ever been, blah, 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 for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about this before, and, you know, all of the coming into its own, it's dropping the Heroes of Warcraft subtitle and it becoming its own thing with its own lore, its own style, all of it, even though it does have gameplay issues that are, you know, being discussed actively by the community. Mm-hmm. It's still, you know, it has some positive aspects as well. But I don't know what I expect for Hearthstone in 2017. I don't think we're going to see a big change that is going to make us think differently about the game. Might be wrong, but I think it's still gonna be big, you know, expansion, adventure expansion, and that's it, and it keeps rolling. And I don't think there's gonna, if a change is being worked on, it might not happen next year, I think.
Let me tell you what I would play the living hell out of. I would play it till it bled, and that is if the incubator teams are working on a deck building game, which is not the same as what Hearthstone is, for the StarCraft universe. It's perfect for it.
Define deck building game.
All right. So there's a game I play on my iPad all the time called Stardock. Have you heard of this? Or wait, Stardock.
Nope. Wait. Stardock?
What's it called? Stardock launches mobile division. No. It's not Stardock. That's Stardock Entertainment I'm thinking of. Oh, crap. And I can't think of the stupid name of the game. Anyway, there's a game. Dead Man's Draw is another good example of this. This is actually a board game as well as a video game. Imagine this. You have a deck of cards. When you play a game, you have a deck of cards. And you open that deck of cards and you deal them. And the cards you got dealt are the cards that you have to play with, right? Not the same as you going and building a custom deck of 30 cards out of a billion choices. Like Magic the Gathering is a collectible card game. Hearthstone is a collectible card game. You collect cards. You do that by unlocking them, buying them, or whatever.
Oh, right. So the difference is all the cards are already available to the game, and it just assigns you, you know, you randomly get a number of them, and you have to build a deck out of those, as opposed to you actually having to include to get them into your collection to build your deck.
Correct. So it's a bit like, it's actually, I guess I could have just said it's like poker. You know, poker is a game with 52 cards, and you get the cards you get, right? So it's like that, but it's a different genre, kind of. It's still cards and whatever, and they're still all the same, a lot of the same strategies and whatnot. But for whatever reason, those just draw me in. I have way more fun with that than I do with CCGs. And I just think the StarCraft universe would work well. And you'd do a broader thing. It's not just characters and abilities. It's ships and armadas and planet control. And like, there's stuff you could do. I would really like that. Now, what that looks like, what that is, I don't know. But if they're talking about making more mobile experiences and doing it faster and perhaps shoring up their position as the mobile tabletop card game du jour or whatever, they could totally snag some of that market by having a really good deck builder. So that's something I hope.
So do you think, let's go a little bit wider, do you think one of these incubator games is going to be a specific tablet or phone, maybe phone game?
Yeah, I do. I think that they're working on mobile like crazy. I could be wrong, but when you pull... This is so like not evidence, but the fact that they take Corey Stockton, the biggest proponent of portable gaming, of Nintendo, of 3DS games, the guy behind the pet battling system, which is modeled right after Pokemon, that guy, and you move him into the incubator and hide him from view, I have to think they're playing to his strengths and he's working on something that's mobile related. I could be totally wrong. No one's told me this, but it just feels right to me.
Yeah. We don't know that he's in the incubator. I don't think we specifically got confirmation of this, but it seems safe to assume.
Yeah.
The thing I will say, if he is, I'll go even farther. I think he might be, I will predict that he is working on a Nintendo Switch title. And even... That is like no chance of it actually being the case. But on a Switch title that they went to Nintendo for and asked to collaborate on a Mario or Zelda game that Blizzard will develop. That will never happen, but it's fun to think about.
That is fun to talk about. I agree it'll probably never happen. But they're making a Switch game is not crazy.
Nintendo has worked with other companies. You know, they do lend out their IP to other companies to develop a game. But, you know, it makes no financial sense for two big companies to do that.
Sure. And Pokemon isn't even a Nintendo developed game. That's, you know, the Nintendo company is a separate entity. They have a huge stake in it, but it's not. So that's already kind of true. But I agree with you. We haven't seen Blizzard work with Nintendo since the N64 port of StarCraft 1.
Right.
That was a long time ago.
But no, you know, Nintendo does this for other things as well. They've done the Hyrule Legends, you know, the Musou game. Mm-hmm. They've done, there's Picross games. Maybe those are Nintendo owned. There's a bunch of things that happen from time to time. I think it would be like... Anyway, all right.
I completely agree with you. And all I'm saying is I would embrace whatever the hell that is. So if he is making whatever for the Switch, I don't want it just to be a port of something. Like, I want something more.
No. I think it would be, yeah.
Oh, that my would be, gosh. That would shit a brick. You know how many Switches they'd sell just on that? Anyway.
You know, I think that would be a huge deal. Yeah. If Blizzard was making a Switch game, mm-hmm. it would be... I don't think it will make it in time for launch now, but maybe, you know, next year, mm-hmm. something like that.
It'd be enormous.
But,
it'd be a big deal.
It would be huge. It would give... Because the big issue with Nintendo consoles has always been third-party support. Right. So if Blizzard is doing a game for them, anyway.
And this is also their most straight-up console they've made in a very long time, in that it's, I mean, yes, it's weird that it's portable and docks at home, but it's a video game with sticks and controllers and no weird touchy hoochy ha ha ho ho motion crap.
Touchy hoochy ha ha ho ho motion crap.
Right, that stuff.
Believe. You've summed up the last 10 years for Nintendo pretty handily. So Overwatch, obviously the esports aspect. We haven't even talked about esports for any of those, but that's pretty big. And I guess for Overwatch, the biggest.
Mm. They're huge for all of them, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that we even need to get into it. Esports is going to be huge, obviously. The Overwatch League is going to be very big. It's going to start in the U.S., and it could become something enormous over the next 2 or 3 years. And it's going to be really fun to look at. On a game, from a game standpoint, I think we're going to see for Overwatch a lot of interface improvements. Obviously, you know, a couple extra characters, maybe a new mode, but a lot of improvements for making, just polishing the game even more in the UI department, in the Observer department, all of these things. I don't think that we're going to see one huge thing. I do wonder, however, if they haven't already started thinking about, maybe not working on, but thinking about another game in the Overwatch universe that might be more solo focused.
Well, I mean, fact that they had a job posting for somebody to work with a cutting edge next generation engine, I think is a lot of people went, oh, what new
FPS,
or FPS engine? Yeah, I think a lot of people jumped straight to what new game are they working on. But I think that posting is all about ramping up something in Overwatch to bring new content to that game that is single player focused or co-op focused. The success of the Halloween event was pretty palpable. People loved that freaking thing. I did. I loved it. Oh, man, I loved it. And I didn't think I was going to. I thought, well, whatever. This is just some kind of weird co-op mode. I've played this in a million games before. And instead, I really thought that was tight and well made. So the idea that somebody might come along and build some narrative content of some kind into that engine as a new project that's either standalone or DLC or whatever. I don't know what their business model would be for that, but that's very exciting to me, and I hope that that's true.
I don't think it's going to be DLC because they don't want to sell it in the existing game. Mm-hmm. I think they have enough following on that game to put out another one in, let's say, 2018. That would be an entirely separate game in the same universe.
Yeah, that totally could be true. That absolutely could be true. It would be a little bit unprecedented in terms of where they're starting. I mean, usually even Team Fortress itself, the concept of classes and things in a shooter, which was originally a Quake 1 mod, you still needed Quake 1, and Quake 1 was ostensibly at that point a single-player campaign with a multiplayer afterthought. And usually that's the pattern. You have a game like Call of Duty and it's all about the campaign, but then the multiplayer takes on a life of its own. And usually they're shipped in the same package. So this would be a little bit weird for them, but I don't think that they're opposed to doing some weird things. I think that's a great idea and I hope they do it. We should hear more about that this coming year, I hope. I really hope.
Yeah, it's a bit early, I think.
For StarCraft, I just want them to take it into a new place. I want some StarCraft... I want that IP, but I want to blow it out. I want to have... I'll take anything. Give me something like... what's the name of those old games? Like Freelancer. But put it in the StarCraft universe and let me go out and do missions in my space frigate.
I would play the crap out of something like this.
Oh my gosh, that's it all is. I'd want to do.
And you know, the really interesting thing about StarCraft is that now, finally, StarCraft II is done with Legacy of the Void. The trilogy is complete. Mm-hmm. And the way Blizzard works is that when a team finishes a game, they get together, they discuss what they want to do next. I don't know that that's still the case, but I suspect it is. And they go out and do whatever it is that they feel they want to do next. That's how all of their games started, especially, you know, WoW and Overwatch and Hearthstone even. And it's not impossible that they're going to think, they're going to say, you know what, the 4X genre is a niche genre that is super fun and that we really like, but it's still a little bit niche. Maybe we can blow it out and make it into something more accessible. Mm-hmm. So maybe, I mean, there's part of the team that's on Heroes now and part of the team that is doing the small updates, you know, the packs, the Nova packs and whatever for StarCraft. But there's a, I think there's a big chunk of the StarCraft team that is not doing all of those things, and maybe they're working on something new that isn't an RTS. A lot of people are clamoring for Warcraft 4. I think we've said on the show a couple of times, it's maybe not time to jump back into the RTS genre. Maybe let it breathe a little bit. Let it, you know, let people wanting an RTS a little bit, for a little bit longer. Because I suspect if Warcraft 4 came out, a lot of people would go and rush to get it and then play for, you know, 2 hours and think, oh, well, it's an RTS again. I'm not really into those anymore.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm worried about that too. I agree with you. I don't think that that's their next step. But I would love the idea that, that Dustin Browder is off sneakily working on the next chapter of what StarCraft can be and that it's not in the RTS genre. I'm way into that idea. Yeah. Because that's such an awesome universe, man, with such great characters and so many possibilities. And I would just take... I just want to fly around and do missions and go like mine that asteroid field and take it back to my base and turn it in and find out there's a Zerg infestation on some frigate somewhere. And I want to fly out there and I want to rid it of the Zerg and then get gold for that. Like, I'm not asking for an MMO here, folks. I just want like freelancer, you know, wing
privateer,
commander.
Yeah. Privateer
is great. Oh, what a great game that was. Oh, I love Privateer. And there's a lot of games like this. There's a million of them out there. The Blizzard just needs to take that and own that new that genre and turn it into something special. They could totally do it. Finally, BlizzCon, real quick. Any expectations for that? It's a long ways off. There was a rumor yesterday that dates got leaked, but I don't know that it ever got found out what they were, so I don't know how that's a leak. Usually when you say something
there
leaks,
are dates. There will be a BlizzCon.
Yeah, I think that's the only leak we got out of it. But Ro, if you're listening, you can clarify this for me. I don't believe anybody saw any actual dates. There was just some rumor that dates were floating around. I think it's safe to say it's November. It's safe to say it'll be very esports focused. Safe to say probably some announcements, but maybe not. I mean, I don't know. These are all safe things to say, but I don't know what else to say about BlizzCon. What else is there to hope for?
Probably some announcements, but maybe not. I think that is indeed pretty safe to say. We don't know. We don't know. It would be cool to see a new game announced, obviously, but they could completely just, you know, 10 years ago, they couldn't justify a BlizzCon. I mean, they could do it because there's always the fun of hanging out with all of the community. But without an announcement, it was kind of a little bit empty. This time around nowadays, you have so much esports and so much activity there anyway. And so many, not just that, but also so many of the games have small things that they add all the time. You know, they could announce a new hero in Overwatch, two or three heroes in Heroes, an expansion for Hearthstone and a new pack for StarCraft. And it's sort of a lot of stuff to discuss, and it justifies the whole thing. So they could very much not announce anything. I still hope they will have it's going to get insane. But if they announce a new game, it's going to be 7 games for the same company. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Do you think they'll, I think Morheim will come out and go, all right, we have the results from the DeepMind experiment. And, we found that AI is already taking over the world, and we should all just sit down and die of starvation. Like, what do you think happens there?
I think the comms team has learned a valuable lesson from that part of the opening. I honestly thought it was cool, but I seem to be the only one in the entire world, and I don't think they're going to repeat that again. I think they're going to keep the opening. If they do something like that, they will have more to show, right? It's not just going to be, oh, we have a partnership with someone. It will be like showing an AI actually playing the game, and that would be fun. Yeah. But it's probably going to be a little bit more than just the announcement if they do something like
it
that.
It was the Geek Is of 2016, is what that was.
Yeah, Geek Is was more
pretty bad.
Geek Is, I thought, was it achieved what it was supposed to achieve, which
did it though?
Because it filled out an opening ceremony that really had nothing at all for it.
All right. Well, in that way, yeah. But you could say, oh, well, this dog poo did what I needed to do, which was to make the center of my cake more structurally sound so I could put more frosting on the outside.
Like, are you calling Geek Is dog poo?
No, what I'm saying is I think they had other plans and they scrapped them. I think that was the year we were going to hear about Titan. And I think last second they pulled the plug. Okay. I could be wrong. No inside info. That's just what I think.
I think what we're going to see happen is Blizzard buy Rockstar Studios and integrate them into Blizzard. And that will be the announcement at BlizzCon. There you go.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I think you're right on the money. Before we get out of here, let's just want to thank everybody for a great year of the instance. Everybody's been great this year. Listeners, of course, huge thanks to my co-hosts and to Patrick today for being here today for this year ender. I don't have any predictions for the show for the next year, except that it will continue on, that we have some ideas, that there's going to be rad coverage of all the games you love, especially World of Warcraft as we lean into the next phase of Legion and beyond. So keep coming back for all of that stuff. Before we go, though, Patrick, would you like to pimp or mention or do anything at the end of the show here that you now have the stage for, sir?
You know what? Same as you. I want to thank everyone for listening. I can't believe it's been 2 years already since I left Blizzard and I started on that incredible path of being a professional podcaster. Mm-hmm. And the instance has been at the beginning of that path, the first steps I took over more than 10 years ago. And it's an incredible privilege to be part of this great show again now as a full member. It's really fun to be here, really fun to interact with you guys and with the community. And you guys are the best of the internet. And I couldn't be prouder to be contributing a small part to all of this. So, follow me on Twitter, not Patrick.
I echo what Patrick says. You really are the best community out there. There's a lot of shitheads on the internet. You guys are not, for the most part, any of them.
Asterisk for the most part.
Yeah, there's a footnote here.
Hey, listen, everyone's a little bit of a douche sometimes, so yeah, it's fine.
Even me, I'll be a douche sometimes. Anyway, hey, for me, I just wanted to make a quick recommendation. For the Boop Show, I interviewed Liam O'Brien, the voice of Illidan himself. He's a voice actor and director who works a lot with Blizzard and other games and anime and other stuff. And I'm sure many of you may already know him, but if you are interested at all in what the current voice over actor strike that's going on is like and why they're doing it, what they expect to get out of it, how it's going so far, and just some sort of thoughts on that industry in general and how voice acting works and why Blizzard's one of the better companies to work with, you might want to check that interview out. You can find that at frogpants.com/BOOP. That's Boop. frogpants.com/Boop. We just put that interview up last week, and I think you'll enjoy it.
It was an interesting interview. I would have had more questions for Liam, though.
Oh, you would.
I think you went a little bit.
You think I went softball? Well, all right. Give me one. What's one of the questions you would have asked? What would you have said?
No, it's for another day. I'm just saying. I'm a more hard hitting interviewer than you are. Probably, I have more ethics and a spine. I suppose is what I'm trying to say.
A spine. Well, I have to admit, I'll admit my bias. I'm totally all four of those guys getting their come
up. I'm just trying to make up for the fact that Liam is an incredibly attractive man and that I have some confusing feelings for him.
Yeah.
So I lash out.
That's fine. You only have those a couple times a day. You're all right. You'll be fine. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We very much look forward to seeing all of you in the new year. May 2017 be better on a whole than 2016 was. And that means no dying celebrities, no weird politics, and no bad things happening probably won't going to happen. But hey, I think we
expect.
Yeah,
it seems like a tall order, you know.
But I think we can
no dying celebrities at all seems like a difficult thing to achieve, and especially the no weird politics.
But, yeah, probably we'll see not, how it goes. Probably maybe. Not going to happen. I think we can expect good things from Blizzard and from all our favorite games. So be with us on that journey, won't you, folks? It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick. And for everyone else who isn't here today, we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.